Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
What did you say? 5 straight days of playoffs?
Right you are.
I wonder if Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily, our friend on the Westher hotline as we speak, is the type to blast the Notre Dame fight song when they score, if he happens to be home. I found myself doing, I am a, back when I was younger, Ohio State fan. And when the Rose Bowl was on, we were all home, I did actually just push the button for across the field every time they scored. They were racking up touchdowns, 40-yard touchdowns in the first half. I felt it. Might you be the type?
A young Joe Ostrowski, possibly, cheering for a Lou Holtz, Jerome Bettis, those types of teams. This age, no, but with my kid getting into it. My wife went to St. Mary's across the street over there, so she's really into it. She's pacing already, nervous about the game. I'm like, what's the difference? You're nervous about Army, so it's the same old deal. No, I'll not be blasting the fight song, but yeah, it's brought me back to my fandom of my youth. It's cool. It's an awesome deal here, and it's not the same 2, 3, 4 teams every single year. What NIL has done, and the kids actually wanting to stay in college, the transfer portal, that's a whole nother conversation. But what it's done, it's leveled it out, and those coaches in the SEC are not very happy about it.
I love this, that you can enjoy that as a family. These years, I've never minded that my wife could not care less about sports. She's tried to watch the Bills. I've been home since the pandemic on game days. Now I don't come in here for post game, so I'm home, and the Bills have been, you know, so good. She still just gets too nervous. Like, she just can't relax and enjoy it. It's like, it takes her back. Our son played pretty high-level hockey. Junior hockey is where he ended up. But he's a goalie. And that was very tense, watching your kid be the goalie, right? Colleges are watching and all this kind of stuff. It was very tense. I think it takes her back to that place, and she doesn't like being in that place. So she just leave the room. I can't do it.
Yeah, of all the teams, all the sports, this is the one that brings her in. I mean, it's gotten to a point. The other day, she comes to talk to me during a break. She's like, "You see what Cam Newton's saying on ESPN about Notre Dame? About how terrible they are? How they can't beat anybody? Now they're going to get smoked by Penn State?" Like, I'm like, this is all show. Just relax. This is what they do. They talked about what their arguments are going to be before the show.
And then she flipped that on you, right, Joe? Oh, so everything you say you don't mean? Did she flip that on you?
Yeah.
People do that. Is that how it works on your show, too?
No. And I know it doesn't work like that with you guys.
Of course not. What do we have tonight? Notre Dame -1?
Yeah, has that moved at all? Are you worried about the flu, Joe? I've seen some reports of the flu running through Notre Dame's team.
No, I'm more worried about the starting running back. I'm worried about them falling behind, and can Riley Leonard bring them back if they end up falling behind to Penn State? Not as worried about the flu. It is one. There has been movement throughout the week. A couple of days ago, this got all the way up to 2.5, and then Penn State money brought that down the other way. What I'm looking at as far as this game, we've talked about it with you guys, as far as myself and my co-host Sam Panionovich joining you tomorrow. We are invested in Notre Dame. We loved the path coming in. I made a good size bet on them to make the title game, which is on the line tonight at 4-1, and he was bigger on the title at 10-1. Neither of us are hedging the position. We think they're going to win, but I'm not here saying that I think it's that it's the strongest of opinions. The point spread is about right to me. This feels like a coin toss with this matchup that we're having between the two teams. You could make the argument, even though Notre Dame took down Georgia last week, you could make the argument that neither team has truly been tested all that much. Penn State taking down SMU. the start of that was a little fluky. There were two pick sixes. There was a red zone interception by SMU, so it was just an avalanche. And then Boise State. That's not the defense that Notre Dame is going to be showing them tonight. And then, you know, last week Georgia had their backup quarterback. But my biggest concern, Jeremiah Love, he is their most Notre Dame's most explosive player on offense. He's been wearing a huge knee brace all week in practice. They say he practiced last 2 days. He's good to go. But every time you take a look at the props, it keeps getting lower. His rushing prop is all the way down to 35.5. The second running back has a higher number. But, I do think Notre Dame wins. It's going to be a rock fight. That's my strong play if you're just looking for a bet tonight. I would play the under. I see 45.5 out there right now. Yeah, I'm not expecting many touchdowns in this game. Tyler Warren, watch out for him. Penn State tight end. He is the best player in the nation at his position. But this one's going to be fun, man. People killed James Franklin, never winning the big game. He's 1-14 straight up against top five teams. And people shocked what Freeman has done so quickly, taking over for Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame because he said they'll never have a chance of winning a championship there. And
whoops.
They're in the Final Four right now.
Do they count as a top five team? Even though they're seven,
yes.
They do?
Okay. Yeah, in the AP, they're number three.
Okay.
In the playoff rankings, they're five. But, yeah, the seeding is down a little bit. But
love that they still do rankings through this. You know, we have actual seeds and brackets, but we're still out there doing the rankings. Love that.
Speaking of the bracket, real quick, this is not at all gambling related, but I saw this story. Mike mentioned Ohio State, and it tripped a wire for me here. I saw a story today. I don't have details. It was just a tweet. Some reporter covering this game tonight said he just met, or she, I don't remember if it was a man or a woman reporter, but this reporter ran into a couple in Ohio State jerseys in the elevator in Miami. They read the bracket wrong.
Oh boy.
You're not in Texas.
What I don't have is the details on when they realized that they had read the bracket wrong. Like, did it take until they got there and realized, or did they just like book the trip and like, all right, well, whatever, we're going to Miami in January because we booked the trip. But they thought when the bracket came out that Ohio State's end of it would land them in Miami. So they booked a trip to Miami.
There's an Ohio State joke there.
That is tough.
What I do think is interesting, another possible change moving forward that they might realize, we'll see. If your team makes a run and you're really into it and, you know, maybe it's you're not there every year, you're asking the hardcore fan to take three neutral trips around the holidays.
Yep.
Like this, you're going to send some families broke. And what if it's a team that's there on a consistent basis? You're asking a lot. I hope one adjustment they do make is more of those home field games we've got in the first round.
Ohio State would be what? L.A., then Dallas, then Glendale? Is that where this ends?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's in Glendale, right? Yes.
That's a lot.
From Columbus. Right. There are, a lot of vacation time, too.
There are look-ahead lines, and Ohio State is more than a touchdown favorite against whoever wins tonight. You think that's about right?
Well, it is based on the way they've played, and if they win on Friday night, you would assume they're going to continue that. It's funny, 2 weeks ago, or before the playoffs started, up for grabs. That's the conversation. I don't know. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, all these teams are so close, and now you look at it, and that is not the case, just based on these two games Ohio State has put together. The interesting narrative to me is, boy, they have been so impressive. You know, Chip Kelly doing things offensively, Jim Knowles defensively that we have not seen all year. Wait, we weren't talking about Jeremiah Smith being the overall number one pick if he was eligible for the draft before, that they were saving stuff. I don't know if that's the case, but that's been an interesting conversation. But yeah, during the playoffs, far and away, they look like the best team. They're about even money to win the title with four teams left.
Right, and as you pointed out, they haven't won their game in this round yet. Texas, if it were to beat Ohio State, is a small favorite against tonight's winner if they were to get that win. All right, to the NFL, Joe Ostrowski with us on the Wester Hotline. What's your favorite game?
Favorite pick or favorite game?
Either.
Let's go Steelers-Ravens.
Okay.
And it's the largest point spread. I know that may not make a lot of sense to some people, But if you were to ask me, okay, what game would you pick if, you know, money line involved where you could see an upset? And I'm not here to criticize the Ravens at all, but these two teams know each other inside and out. You have Lamar's struggles in the playoffs, if you want to believe in that or not, and you have the struggles against this team in particular. I know a few weeks ago they took care of business there, but I thought, if not fluky in any way, but there was a lot of noise in that two-touchdown game in Week 16 when the Ravens won. You didn't have George Pickens on the field. Ogunjobi was out. Porter leaves the game with an injury. There was a pick six in there, a Russ fumble at the Baltimore 4. Like, there were a lot of wild events that happened in that game. Like, you look at it and say, well, Pittsburgh could have easily covered. And earlier in the year, they ended up beating them. The problem is the way that the Steelers are trending right now. The Ravens were tested unlike any other team in the playoffs this year. They played 10 games against playoff teams, going 7-3 against them. And I'm not counting the Cincinnati games that they swept. So most of the season, they're playing really tough opponents. So I think that's a big reason that a lot of people are willing to back them. But, yeah, the point spread, are we at 9.5 everywhere now?
10.
I see 10, yeah.
Okay, we're still at 10. Yeah, I see. Boy, those 10s are going away, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard for people to go and say that they're going to back the Steelers. Just a few weeks ago, this point spread was about 7, and now we're at 10 just because of the way the Steelers have played at the end. But, again, toughest part of the schedule. Look at the teams that they went against.
I sort of make this point, I think, maybe almost every week with you, but how if I see a line, I'm not the professional, but if I see a line that I don't really get, I tend to sort of want to buy into it. Like, there's something I'm missing here.
The side you're not getting. Yeah.
Yeah. Is the Steelers getting 10? Which is that? Is that, of course, they're a 10-point underdog. They're terrible. The Ravens are the best team in the NFL by the metrics. Why at home? Why wouldn't they give 10 points? Or, like, wait, these games are always 18-16. Pittsburgh usually wins. What am I, like, which side has more claim to what am I missing, if you follow?
I think it's more so if it's 7, nobody's betting the Steelers. If it's 8, nobody's betting the Steelers. They probably had to get it to 10 to get some Pittsburgh money on the other side. And, of course, there is a chance of a blowout here. And Lamar is out to prove, hey, we're fine. There's also the Zay Flowers injury, who had an impact in both games against Pittsburgh this year. Touchdown in 100 yards in the other. So
it's big.
Yeah, it's massive. Can he connect on those deep balls to George Pickens? Something we have not seen in quite some time. Something that was happening when they were winning games early on in the season. But I do believe in the Steelers' defense a little bit too much. So that's why I do like I do like that game, and I do like Pittsburgh getting 10 points. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me as well if Ravens move on. These lines are tough, playoff time.
Give me Baltimore big or a Pittsburgh win. One of the two. By the way, I've seen today how Lamar Jackson apparently does not have a rushing touchdown against Pittsburgh in his career. Just note, he's not like the touchdown. He's not Hurts. He's not Allen. He has 33 rushing touchdowns in his career, which is a good number. And some are explosive plays. Allen has double. Allen has 65. Mm-hmm. You know, goal line stuff is not often Lamar running. So that's interesting. He's got, you know, he's had his struggles against Pittsburgh, everybody knows. But the rushing touchdown point isn't the best because he's not the touchdown machine that Allen and Hurts are. Denver-Buffalo. Joe, mm-hmm. It's close. 9 is the line at BetMGM at the moment. What are your inclinations?
Yeah, it's something that a lot of bettors will typically go against. They will jump in and say, I'm going to fade the rookie quarterbacks. And here we have two rookie quarterbacks on the road talking about Denver and the Washington situations. But 9, the point spread, the great equalizer here, guys. What do you buy into? Are you buying into what Josh Allen was saying, that they weren't showing anything for a good portion of the last month of the season?
No.
You're not buying into it?
Not really, no.
Okay.
They needed those games.
I'm 100% buying into it.
Okay.
I am too, but I like the blowout. that's why.
If anything, it would have started in week 16 when they played New England. Okay. Not before that. I mean, you're not holding back in Detroit, right? Like, you're trying to catch Kansas City. You're one game away from doing that. They scored 48 points besides. It would have been those two games, Patriots and Jets, where they were double-digit favorites. Mm-hmm. And maybe in some ways then I could buy that. Week 18 doesn't matter anyway.
I think the Patriot game, it was after one of these games, and I don't think it was a game where they scored 40 points in losing or winning with the Rams and Lions respectively. I'll bet it's after the Patriot game because I wasn't here for the Jet game.
And they scored 40 points against the Jets.
Where he talked about, like, you know, just sort of, you know, we're not doing everything that we could be doing, sort of, whatever. He made some very matter-of-fact statement after a game about, like, sort of sitting on stuff. And I don't know, I took that as a moment of, like, maybe honesty that he maybe didn't want to divulge necessarily, but he did.
And he wasn't super blunt about it either. He was sort of,
right.
He did allude to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I bought into it, but it was just the reality at that point that it's most likely going to be Kansas City getting the one seed overall. We've seen 8 times the Bills win by 9 points or more. And the Broncos, and this is not really a knock because they're further along than anybody was expecting. I mean, Bo Nix has been more of a hit than I expected coming out of the draft. But how they got here, how they collected their 10 wins was beating up on bad teams and losing to good teams. They're 2-5 this year against playoff teams, and one of those two wins was against a bunch of backups last week with the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm. where they weren't even trying. When they've played, like, you wonder how fluky are these defensive numbers, because all year they've been painted as a team that, listen, they are one of the top 5, top 3 offenses in the game, and they're darn good. They're a number of players. I mean, Sertan might be your defensive player of the year, but against explosive offenses, especially in the second half of the year, we saw a number of times where they were smoked. We saw it was that Monday Night Football game against Cleveland, where Jameis goes off for 41. Baltimore put up 41 against them. Later in the year, Cincinnati 30, Chargers 34. So against the Bills offense, I do have my questions on the road if they're going to be able to play to the level that some of their numbers are showing.
I guess I have to say, though, when we have a bad show, Bulldog, I've heard say, like, just wait until tomorrow. We were saving stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Which I would never admit. So
you don't want to put good stuff on tape. People out there copy.
That's right. Just give us one more shot. Okay, well, let's tackle one or two more here.
Sure.
Green Bay, Philly. The Flyers had a smell on them at this time last year. This year, it seems they decidedly don't. Do you like them in this matchup?
I do. I do. It was a lifetime ago when we saw this in Week 1, and it was Brazil. So I'm not going to put too much into that game, but the Packers' rush defense, not all that great. We know Hurts returning from playing for the first time in about a month. But, I still trust the Eagles. I view them as the most balanced team in the league, both offensively and defensively. And these Packers injuries are adding up. Of course, Jair Alexander. Well, he's always on the injury report, but he's done. And then the brutal injury last week to Christian Watson, they clearly regret even trying for some seed movement, even though it wasn't even in their power. You know, it was based on what Washington was going to do. So Watson goes down, and then you've got Jordan Love, and with Vic Fangio on the other side, he's well aware that he really struggles against man defense, so I'm sure we're going to see plenty of that. And yeah, I'm back in the Eagles here, guys. 4.5, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's about right. I have my issues with the Packers. We thought Jordan Love was going to have a much better season than he's put together.
We did.
But
we did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They struggled against really good teams. They were awful in the NFC North this year. Their only wins against playoff teams are, you know, those middle-of-the-road teams. They beat the Texans and the Rams this year, and 5 losses to go along with that.
And he did get hurt 3 times.
Yep.
I mean, doesn't – you can't feed your family on injury excuses when you make these bets, as I know you know. But still, he got hurt week 1. We made our bet after that, so we knew that.
Yep.
But then a couple more times. I guess the Rams have to count if they're a 1-point underdog. Is there an underdog you like to win?
Yeah, I don't even know that the Rams will be the other underdog by the time we get to Monday.
Okay.
Because they're getting so much support. Everybody I hear, even, you know, public, respected people, they all seem to be on the Rams in this spot. I'm not taking that Week 8 Thursday night short turnaround game too far. That was a game when Stafford was not touched all night, and that cannot be the case for the Vikings to win this game. He did not get sacked that entire game. And, you know, the Rams, they've been a very trendy team in the second half of the year. It's impressive that they've been able to get to this point. They need to keep Stafford clean. The guy is a different quarterback. He's still an all-world guy when he has a clean pocket. When he is under pressure, that is very different. So I'm expecting Flores to send a lot of heat there. You know, it's tough. It's tough to go and say that I'm going to back Sam Darnold because the guy seeing ghosts seemed to be back out there on Sunday night. So it's difficult, but man, what a great coaching matchup that we're going to have here. O'Connell and McVay, the line seems about right to me. I would lean Vikings, but it really does feel like a toss-up. It's weird with the Vikings. You know, sometimes a 60-minute sample can throw everything off. They had a 9-game winning streak, and you get the sense that a lot of people don't want to back them right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked last week about the Rams bet, you know, sitting their starters, and this is exactly what I think they had in mind. They're going to play a team that they beat and that's going to have to travel and, you know, the stress of that Sunday night game. What a game for intensity that was, Minnesota-Detroit. Mm-hmm. So I think this is what McVay had in mind. Thank you, Joe. You'll be on tomorrow morning, I assume, and yep. How about Sunday?
Yeah, tomorrow, Sunday throughout the playoffs.
Sure. Very good. Thanks for this. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
Joe Ostrowski, the host of BetQL Daily and Sunday Mornings with Jason Lock and Fora. Sam, who will be on with us tomorrow, Joe's co-host at BetQL Daily, will be on with Nick Kostos on Sundays through the playoffs, I think. He can tell us. The Bills didn't sack Stafford either.
Right. No turnovers in that game either.
No turnovers, no sacks. 90 points-ish. Easy to confuse it with the Lions game. I mean, that was the next week.
Yeah.
Rams was 44-42. Bills beat the Lions 48-42.
I think I'm leaning Rams in this one. Hey, you know, I think when you settle on a guy, like Darnold still, he's had this great year, and I'm the guy over here in the corner. I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. I did this with Geno Smith. Like, I don't buy it. I don't know, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. And then he goes out and like just misses everyone, especially in the red zone last week in a game to get the one seed. And I'm just like, I don't know. I buyer beware is what I would say about Sam Darnold still.
What about Baker?
I'm a little scared of him. Baker, I always kind of like Baker. Like I feel like Baker, I trust Baker. I probably go. I don't. I'm not telling you I should, but I prefer him over Darnold.
He's a, I mean, nobody will play him, but in some of these fantasy tournaments, I'm tempted. They're playing at home,
mm-hmm.
and they just throw the ball. Like, their offense has been really good. I kept doubting them, but, I mean, they needed Atlanta to lose
right
late, but it did happen.
Yeah, I feel like he'll put up stats. The question is whether they'll win. Right? Like, you're picking him for this. You need longevity here. Right. You know, throwing for 380 in a loss ain't really going to do much for you.
And he's not going to put up stats on the Allen level anyway. Last year in this playoff tournament, the FFPC, Allen ended up the highest scoring quarterback. He played two games.
Yep.
Remember, the Super Bowl was tight. Kansas City, Baltimore was tight.
Right.
That's so right. Nobody... Allen ended up on top, even though he only played two games. That's what Mayfield probably can't do.
Right.
Or Goff.
Right, he's not going to have the rushing. You know, you'll get yards and touchdowns. I mean, he led the league in touchdown passes, didn't he?
He may have. I don't know. There's no way to find out, but I think...
Darn the luck.
I think he might have.
Someone page me and let me know if they can... I'll call you back and find out if Mayfield led the league in touchdown passes.
Bills, Broncos. Yes, Paige Bulldog. The Saturday games in the AFC, what are you thinking? 803-0550 for your calls. Sal Capaccio at 5, Sabres and Senators tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at WGR.
That 60 minutes when I'm out there, I want to win. I want to win the game. I want to beat the Denver Broncos. It's all love at the end of the day, but those small 3 to 4 second bursts, I got to go through these guys to get where I want to go. And it's kind of weird, but that's just how crazy the NFL is and the universe is. So instead of trying to fight it, I just embrace it. It's a cool event. you know, to be able to play against this new and improved, you know, Denver Broncos. The last time that they made the playoffs was the last time we won a Super Bowl. So it's a full circle moment, and it's nothing but love and respect for the Denver Broncos and Broncos country for sure.
Von Miller was the MVP of Super Bowl 50. That's Denver's last postseason game, as he said. Mike Schoben, the Bulldog here. It's getting close. Sunday at 1 on WGR. Saturday, the Chargers at Houston, and then Steelers-Ravens. We didn't get to the Houston game with Joe, but I've seen on their show the talk that maybe the Chargers are getting a little bit too much respect.
Right. Yep.
I don't think so. You know, I've mentioned this with the Chiefs in mind before. I don't think, certainly it's a game Houston could win. What have the Chargers proven, you know? But I brought it up to Davis Maddock on ADP Chasing, Chiefs fan, this point that I think the Chargers are the one team that of the four possible opponents in round two that the Chiefs could lose to. And he just simply said, they don't have enough good players. I guess that's maybe the issue with the Chargers.
Yeah.
But they've thrown the ball a lot more and been very successful at it. They've had pressure games down the stretch. They've won them all. And I just get vibes from Herbert that he knows that this is how you make a legacy at his position, that he's got to win. And he's playing like, you know, with a certain, maybe he always does, but lately I've sensed a certain higher level of commitment.
He is definitely, I shouldn't say definitely. My read is that he's running more. Like, he's more actively looking for opportunities to do that. I feel like once I started, I think at some point this year, I said, like, I haven't really sat with them yet. I need to, like, sort of like, get a game here where I'm just sitting watching the Chargers. And it feels like ever since I said that, every time I've looked at them, even if it's just dipping in red zone or something, it's the, like, oh, there he goes with his legs again. I mean, he's not putting up incredible numbers, but he's just been more willing to do it. He's had some longer runs, I think, than you'd seen in the past, and he's capable of doing it. I mean, he's not Allen out in the open field or anything, but he is a big guy, and he moves. He's not, you know, some guys that are that, what is he, like 6 feet? It's Allen size, right? 6'5", 6'6", that range?
6'6".
Okay. Some guys that size, like, think about, like, what Bledsoe looked like out in the open field. It's just like, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that anymore. Nobody needs to see that.
I can still remember the clip from the Colts game, right. the bootleg. Right. We don't play it anymore because it took up half an hour.
Right. It took like 10 seconds for him to get from the 35 to the 30 or something.
Yeah.
Herbert is way, way better than that. Like, again, he's not Allen. He's not like an elite scrambler or runner. But he could do it and look like and hurt you doing it. And I feel like that light bulb went on for him at some point. I don't know if that is some part coaching, some part, like you're suggesting, him feeling like I need to take a step. I need to ascend to another level here. But I feel like I see him doing that more than I did in years past. So, you know, there is that piece. But I'm like you. I'm thinking about whether or not, you know, I'm also thinking about the picks already tomorrow, and I'm now five back. I think like you had a clean 5-0 sweep.
I love week 18.
Man, you nailed that, and I went 1-4 at a terrible time. So I'm or even worse. No, I 1-4. Anyway, I'm five behind. And so I'm gonna wait and see what you do tomorrow at 6 when you make your picks, and then decide. But if you're on the Chargers, I may go Houston just to try to catch up. Because to me, it's not crazy that they could win. Like, I've been down on them all year. That's the thing that's a little weird for me to, like, sort of back them now. Because I really don't like them in the game. But they could win, sure. They're getting 2.5 at home. I don't know. I may tactically land there, but I'm not sure I'll really buy it.
Well, they won a playoff game last year, Houston, against Flacco. It's an interesting one. We've kind of ignored it. And the Bills will probably not play the winner.
Unless Pittsburgh pulls the upset Saturday night.
If that happens, then if the Bills win, they will. But, right, they probably the Steelers are likely to lose, and the winner of this game is likely to lose to Kansas City. So they probably will not play the winner of this game. But it's just it's the stuff that can kind of drive you nuts with talk shows, narrative stuff with quarterbacks, how team results get so much credit, carry so much weight when the player is being analyzed, and sometimes it might just be ridiculous. But I feel like Herbert is in a position here under Jim Harbaugh now. I mean, he's made his point this year that he can get into the conversation with the top guys.
Right.
Beating Kansas City would do it.
Big time.
But even like, you got to win this game first. And it's just been such a difficult season for Houston. Injuries at receiver, and they've just been so inconsistent or just not good. So I like the Chargers minus three, I think. I think they're easily the better team there. But it's also a team that has a history of cracking, and if that means anything to you, I'm going to ignore that. It's not the same coach. I'm going to ignore that for this game, probably. We reserve the right to change our selections tomorrow. It's not official until tomorrow.
I'm probably going to do whatever you don't do.
With all the games or that?
No, not with all the games. I mean, there is. I've got to have some flexibility there. I can't. I'm not going to go across the board six opposite. I'm not. It's not time for that yet.
Too early.
I can still play the game. There's still, you know, there'll be four more games next weekend, and so I'm not dead.
Will you watch both games Saturday?
100%.
I'm not going to be able to.
I got nothing. My wife is working Friday night and Saturday night. So, like, she is barely awake when the first game kicks off and will be at work by the time the second game is underway. And, like, I got nothing. So, I have no excuse. Well,
set the scene. On the big leather chair, couch.
Couch. There's no big leather chair anymore. There's a leather love seat and a leather matching sofa. So...
Sitting on the couch.
Sitting.
Okay, yeah. Sitting up.
Ottoman. Because lying down, I'm too vulnerable to sleep.
And your family's out of the house, you're saying? Your wife, at least.
My wife, at least. I don't know what the boys' plans are.
All right. You're sitting on the couch. You'll watch on CBS or on Paramount?
Oh, I'll go ahead and watch it on CBS.
CBS?
Sure.
Yeah. Will Fred be a part of this? Will Fred watch?
Fred will be around, especially if she... Yeah, no, he'll be around. He's with me constantly if she's at work.
I had a dog for many years, Samson, who died last year. Now we have Margot the pug. They're very different. One way where they're different. So we heard about this a long time ago with Samson. I just thought it was funny to have the TV on when, like, my family got home, my wife from work or the kids from school, and this dog TV channel, which had, like, one show was stimulation, one show was calm down, like dog TV. So here we go, Sam. Little dog TV today, special treat. Oh. I never saw him look at the TV. The only thing with regard to the TV that would interest or rouse Samson is a doorbell sound. A doorbell sound, or maybe knocking on a door. If he heard that sound, he would come to action. You know, he'd bark. This Margot watches TV.
That's awesome.
Only Murders in the Building. That's our show now.
Yep.
We watched the first episode of season four the other night. And she sits on the armrest of the couch or of the chair, like kind of at attention, looking at the TV, watching the TV, I don't know what it is. What is it really? She's looking at the television.
Maybe it was a glare from outside on it. She sees a bird or something. Who knows?
But she's looking at it, and she's quiet. And in the first episode of season four, there's a new dog, Gravy. And Gravy shows up, and this Margot just pounces. Like, she jumps through the air. She can kind of fly.
I've never had a dog do this with a TV.
Runs right up to the television, puts her paws up.
Oh, my God.
This,
it's like the DirecTV commercial with the Jaguar in it.
Right. She doesn't go as far as to climb all over. She can't reach the TV. But she just goes. She sprints up to it, puts her hand or paws up on. I always want to say hands. Her paws up on the table to hold herself up. And she looks at it and barks.
They are like little hands. That is awesome. That is awesome. I do not get that kind of interaction out of Fred with anything on the TV ever.
It's funny. I don't always want it.
Right.
But it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Right. She's her new friend is the dog from the show. I think she thinks that's her new
well,
friend.
That's great. And she's definitely seeing the TV, as it turns out, like when she's perched there, right? Like, no, there's no glare. Well, maybe there's a glare too, but whatever. She saw the dog.
I'm now starting to listen to, like, if she reacts to something, what was just said? Like, was there a phrase that we say that was just said? Or maybe there's more than just a dog. Doorbell, yes. Door knocking, yes. But she does kind of, like, look at it like she's waiting for something to react to. Which is what we're all doing.
Kind of. That's the point, I guess.
That's what we're all doing.
Right.
So Fred will be around. He might not be so attentive.
Yeah. I may go out, even. I don't know. I mean, I got I can do anything I want. I'm a grown man.
Yes, you're 40.
Yeah, you can see me going out to watch like 8 hours of football, right?
How do you even do it?
There's no way I could do that.
It's like the tournament days.
Yeah.
Where, let's, strap in noon to midnight. What, do you just sit there and just keep drinking for 12 hours?
I mean, it's been done. Yeah.
It's been done. It does not appeal to me at all.
No, not anymore.
One game.
Yeah.
One game rule. I'll go out for one game, not two.
That's what I'm thinking. I think I may. Well, the trick with me, though, whatever. My wife's schedule could play into that. I like to see her for a little while in between these shifts, and Saturday, when she gets up, is going to be the only time for that. So if I'm out for the first game, I'd miss that. But that's the more appealing game. Because I thought this last week, too. Same thing. Total day, totally free. Games at 4:30 and 8:30 or whatever it was.
One 4:30 and 8.
One 4:30.
Or 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, last Saturday. Yeah. Anyway. I'm gonna go out and watch these games. I never got off that. I never got out of off that perch that you just described.
4:30 was Denver Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was just locked. Couldn't. Well, I put on clothes that are presentable. Where am I gonna park?
Cold out.
It's cold. Really, this is all you need. I'm old. That's all I need. I don't need to see people. I'll watch this by myself. It'll be fine. Mm. That's what I did.
A little bit sad.
Yeah, it is a little sad. I agree.
Sal Capaccio can you imagine Sal doing that? No, he's going to go out and mix it up with people. He wants to be, he's very social, Sal. He would not just stay home, I think, in your situation.
You might be right.
Sal coming up at 5, Sabres pregame at 6, Buffalo at Ottawa. The Steve Foley Law pregame show with Paul Hamilton at 6 tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Welcome back. Sal coming up at 5. Tomorrow, Sam Panayotovic, Jeff Legwald, ESPN reporter for Denver, or Denver reporter for ESPN is better. And I'm sure we'll talk to Sal again tomorrow, getting buttoned up for Sunday. Bills, Broncos, 1 o'clock on WGR. So the Jets continue to interview and ask and request and proceed. It's the longest playoff drought in the NFL. And it's a franchise that's had relatively very little success over the last 50 years. But I wonder if right now is not the lowest they've ever been down, the Jets. With Rodgers, the fanfare with that, and all the ridiculous drama with him and the investment in him, and just like Rex Ryan, maybe, just, I don't know, but the Jets seem like maybe, I mean, the last 20 years, very little winning, but not always an embarrassment.
That's right. And I think they are, the athletic piece about the kids.
Right.
And all the stuff. I mean, they're in tough. They're in so tough that despite it being New York, right? The historic, it's not the Giants, but still. I mean, it's New York City. It's one of the NFL teams in New York City. It's a huge job. I don't know how appealing it is. And that really says it all about the state of things there, I think. Like, I think they should have trouble. I think there's a reason they're talking to Rex Ryan. I think they should have trouble attracting the brightest and the best. Because the brightest and the best, I think, are going to look at the whole thing and just go, do I trust this? Do I trust that? Who's the quarterback? What's the? I don't. It just doesn't. None of it seems good. Yeah, I think you end up with a certain kind of coach there. And we'll see. Maybe this will all turn around and they'll, I don't know, somehow manage to pull Mike Vrabel into the boat or something. But
no way.
I think no way. Yeah. I think they're in real tough. Meddlesome, the selling your soul to Rodgers, like just the way everybody was talking in there, not everybody, but a few select guys, get me out of here is the vibe. So that's a tough spot. And to have all that, like it's one thing to come into what looks like a seemingly pretty dysfunctional situation like Sean McDermott did in the winter of 2017. Bills hadn't been to the playoffs forever. Rex Ryan has just left the building. Like, what are we doing here? And you come in and sort of brick by brick build your thing. And I think it's quieter here. You know, like you can just do what you need to do. And, you know, maybe we're barely going to notice. In New York, despite the 14 years they're working on without being in the playoffs, everything that happens is just going to be front page news. And it's hard, I think, to get that going. And unless they're willing to let a Sean McDermott type come in and just clean it all up. I mean, a lot of people left the organization when McDermott got here. Like because the story there was maybe very similar to a lot of big businesses and a big business like the Jets. There's this group over here that's loyal to this guy, and this guy is loyal to these guys, and it's just you just cannot get all pulled in the same direction. And I don't know if the Jets are ready to do all that, because that could be in stuff that's been entrenched for decades there.
The owner tweets,
right?
I don't think you ever want to go to a team where the owner tweets.
I'm generally in agreement there.
I don't want the owner tweeting.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio next. Sabres and Senators tonight. Pregame at 6 here on WGR.